The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This is the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. I'm Anthony Cosenza. He's John Sheeran. You can get this show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Art19, YouTube, and CincyJungle.com. We're going to get to listener questions here now. You can give us a call or shoot us a text, 949-542-6241, 949-542-6241, or leave your questions in the live YouTube chat or on the comment thread on CincyJungle.com. We already do have... We do have a call on the line. It is Aaron, who is from Cincinnati. Aaron, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man.
What's on your mind tonight?
I'm a chocolate system.
What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, yeah. So much that I can't even probably get it all out. If I run a little long, just cut me off whenever you need to.
All right.
I wanted to comment on a couple of things you guys were talking about as far as, like, quarterbacks go. One of the things that was, like, digging in my brain there was when we were talking about Marvin Lewis saying everybody wants it. Andy Dalton. I don't think anybody wants it, Andy Dalton for 8 years. Like, not for 8 years. Like, maybe for a couple of seasons, as John said, maybe as a backup. But nobody wants it, Andy Dalton. Nobody thinks of him as a, like, the guy to build your franchise around. So that's just complete bunk. You know, I think he's just throwing that out there. In regards to the game on Sunday, I think that this, with Jeff Driskel, it won't ever work with this coaching agency because the way Jeff plays is a very, like, a high-risk, high-reward kind of deal, and you kind of got to keep chasing that dragon. You know what I'm saying? If he throws the pick on one drive, you got to keep letting him go back at it. And we're not that type of offense. It's, you know, you only get so many chances to do anything. And, I mean, but if you like, look at some of the other stats in the game, just watching, like, versus when Andy's in there, we often go three and out. You know what I'm saying? There's not, like, you know, there's not sustained drives at all. Whereas, yeah, you know, almost until, I would say, it started to get out of hand around the third quarter, we were, like, comparable in, like, time of possession stats, which we normally always lose. We were competitive in yards. You know what I'm saying? And all those other little stats that nobody really pays attention to. Like, they were close. It just didn't translate to the scoreboard because of, you know, whatever reason, penalties, setting us back, and all that stuff. I really feel like if we didn't have such discombobulation on that offensive line that with all the penalties, we'd probably... We put up a much better fight. It's not win the game. That's just me. I might be out of line, but whatever. And lastly, to touch on the coaching thing, I'm only going to get excited about a coach who I feel like will take more power from Mike Brown. So, like, it would have to be a big signing that would say to me, like, yo, Mike Brown gave, like, way more control to this guy. You know what I'm saying? Because if he brings in anybody else, I really feel like it'll regress in how much he gives, you know, to somebody who isn't named Marvin Lewis. So, if it was a big name, like we were talking to Jim Harbaugh or Urban Meyer, even though I'm kind of iffy about that because of the PR storm that he's been going into, I really don't think we need that. But if we do, at least I know, like, hey, that guy, he's coming in, he got some power. That's the only way that you're going to draw a guy in like that, more so than the money.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Thanks, Aaron. We're going to take these questions off the air. Good stuff. Really good stuff. Call again for sure. John, a lot there. And we got a couple of calls that we couldn't get to, but if you want to call back, we'll try and get you on the air. We do have an open line now. But, John, the one I want to talk about, and he stopped short of saying it, but Andy Dalton is a tease, right? I mean, for lack of a better word, Andy Dalton is a guy. Think about this year. He had numerous comeback wins. He also had – he set franchise records, but like he said, he's a guy you maybe want 2-3 years, and it's kind of the Alex Smith thing. You start to get sick of him, and you want to move on.
Yeah, he's like the ideal bridge quarterback, because he's definitely the kind of guy that would take a young quarterback under his wings and kind of get him prepared to eventually take his job. And I think he would handle that role well, but he's exactly right. You know, he's not the quarterback that can elevate your franchise. And I think my big fear with them eventually moving on from him is taking another kind of Andy Dalton, because, you know, they've grown comfortable with him, and they think that they can find success with him in the long run. They just think they're unlucky in that sense. But I definitely want a transition to, you know, a quarterback that can actually elevate your team, and you don't have to build a superstar team around him to eventually, you know, cross the threshold that you're so desperately trying to cross. And Aaron made a lot of good points, and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But I really, really wish I really wanted to tell him that there's just not going to be a coach that takes away power from Mike Brown as long as Mike Brown is running.
Well, and I agree with you, and I'm glad you brought that part up. We've got another call we're going to get to in just a second here, but I'm glad you brought that part up, because I thought that was very interesting. And I think that where my wheels turn on that is that I totally agree with you that a new guy coming in is not going to be able to wrestle a lot of power away from Mike Brown.
Not a chance.
But a guy who comes in and is somehow, whether it's with a transcendent quarterback or whatever, if he's able to start winning, you're going to be able to have more say. And that's what happened with Marvin. And I mean, that's really the thing with any business. I mean, think about it. If you're a salesman, right, and you have a sales manager, and your sales manager wants you to do stuff a certain way, if you kind of do play by the rules a little bit, but you also have your own game plan and you put up excellent numbers, and you have something you want to have done, or you have a strategy you want to implement, or you kind of want to do things your own way, your sales manager's like, well, if you keep putting up the numbers, fine, right? I mean, if you're not getting us in trouble in terms of legal problems or something, and you're putting up the numbers, all right, man, do it your own way. And I think that that's what it's going to take in terms of wrestling away power from Mike Brown. Yes, you might be able to, once he moves on, whether it's unfortunately with death or passing it along to his family members or what have you, you might get some changes there. But I think no matter who it is, it's going to have to be a coach that rides it out for a year or two under strict guidelines. And then if and when they're able to win, it's going to be like, hey, my way works. My way works. And so let's do things my way. I think that's what Jim Harbaugh tried to do in San Francisco, and he just rubbed people the wrong way. But I think that's what it's going to take to wrestle away some power from Mike Brown. We have another call on the line. I believe it's from our good friend Terrell. Terrell, how are you, sir?
How you doing, sir? How y'all doing?
We're doing okay. I mean, it's we're 5-7, coming off a pretty ugly loss here, so we're doing all right. But what's on your mind tonight?
Yeah,
not a very good showing.
But I definitely want to just say that Marvin do got to get up out of there. I mean, all his fans and all the preparation and everything is getting real stale. And I just want to say that the defense is looking like they can't tackle it. The two guys, I think that we can try to trade or get value. I think that we're gonna get rid of Vontaze and also Kirk Patrick. And also one of the coaches I was gonna say was John already mentioned it. I was coordinator for KC, and you had a good one with those hands. But one of the other coaches I really wanted, but actually he retired, and that's Urban Meyer, but you know it is what it is. But yeah, I just want to say that. And also, kind of thing I was thinking about, Leon Hall, Jonathan Joseph, Pac-Man Jones versus Denard, Kirkpatrick, and Jackson. Like, who you would think will win?
Ooh, that's a good call there. Thanks, Terrell. Appreciate you calling in as always. We'll take that question off the air. A lot there that he talked about. We'll get to his little question at the end there. I thought that was a really good one. The thing that I don't know how much value the Bengals will get if they try and trade Burfict and Kirkpatrick. I don't know that there's much there. Yeah, I don't think there's just much value there. I think between salaries and baggage and all that stuff, I don't think there's much there to get. But Hall, Joseph, and Pac-Man versus Denard, Jackson, and Kirkpatrick. I'm going to go with the former. I think, and unfortunately, the Bengals didn't get to keep Joseph all that long. They basically got him for his rookie deal, and that was it. But he and Hall were a good tandem, and then you know they played with I think they were able to play with Jones for at least the three of them played together for 1 year or 2 years, I believe. But I think that trio, even though the other trio are a trio of first round picks as well, I think that Hall, Joseph, and Pac-Man wins out for me. What about you, John?
Oh yeah, I think easily as well. I think for a decent stretch in time, Hall was the best slot cornerback in the NFL, and I don't think it was relatively close. At least back in the late 2000s, early 2010s, Joseph was amongst the upper echelon of boundary cornerbacks, and he got paid like one when he went to Houston. He was never, I guess, an All Pro at the position, but he was always good enough to contend for the Pro Bowl. And as of right now, obviously Kirkpatrick's not exactly near that. I grew sick and tired of defending Pac-Man as the person, but at least as a player, he had a decent career with the Bengals for sure, and he definitely was a figure in the locker room that at the very least guys kind of look to for on the field leadership and that kind of stuff. So as your third cornerback, he was pretty decent and up until he fell off the cliff as a player. But yeah, definitely Hall and Joseph, that duo alone, that kind of sells me, even though Jackson is a very good player, and Kirkpatrick is at least average at this point in his career.
Yeah, Jonathan Joseph's still doing it. He had an interception last week against Cleveland. Still not the player he was probably at the prime of his career, probably in 2009 with the Bengals or 2011, 2012 with the Texans, but still brings it, still playing for him, and he's had a good little career. Mostly with the Texans, but a good chunk of it with the Bengals as well. We're going to get out of here with this last question here. We got to end on a happy note. Sarcasm font. Jeff Andy, does it remind anyone else that this team looks a lot like the 90s teams with a number 28 at the running back position and not much else? Yes. And obviously he's referring to Corey Dillon, 28, and interestingly enough, for those who are on Twitter, Jeremy Conley, if you follow him, he's the guy who dresses up as a Bengals version of Captain Obvious from the hotel, I think it's hotels.com commercials or something like that. He tweeted out a deal that was Corey Dillon's career rushing day the other day, which was, if you haven't seen that, it's pretty incredible because they had Scott Mitchell at quarterback and nothing else, and yet he still racked up 278 yards on the ground that day, which was crazy.
Yeah.
But yes, yes and no. To me, this is a team that is either vastly underachieving based on the amount of high picks that are out there and all of that, or this is a team that is not doing well in the draft. I think it's actually a little bit of both, because certain high picks aren't playing for them or not playing well or have taken a step back this year. So I think there is more talent, overall talent on this team. I think it's underachieving, but there are some similarities. Your take, John.
It's hard for a talented running back like Mixon to not do well, regardless of what his surroundings is, as long as the blocking's decent. Like, it's only so much that bad coaching can do to negatively affect a good running back like Mixon. And that's kind of like the same thing that was with Dylan when he had just Willie Anderson in front, but no one else on that entire team that was talented. The Bengals just handed the ball off to him 20, 30 times a game, and he ended up accumulating a crap ton of yards because of it. And it's kind of the same nature that could be with Mixon if they feed Mixon the ball, which they don't do because Bill Lazor historically doesn't do that as a play caller. But yeah, to your point, there is significantly more talent when you compare the two rosters because there is actually talented players. But as you said, most of the issues stem from coaching, either not elevating those talented players to what they could be and definitely not getting the depth ready to play at all, and just a severe lack of depth in important areas that obviously injuries have affected and have caused this roster to look pretty freaking bare at this point with all the injuries that have come about. So, yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat with you. Yes, that looked like the brightest spot, but there's a reason for that. It's because he's a running back. There's only so much that a lack of coaching can negatively do to affect that.
Yeah, and, you know, Corey Dillon, I'm looking up his stats. Corey Dillon is basically he had basically 20 carries a game, and Mixon is far below that. We've got one last call here, John. I'm gonna get to it, and then we will get out of here. So let me grab this. Hi, it's the Orange and Black Insider. Who's this? John, what's going on, buddy? You're the last call of the night. What's on your mind, my friend?
Well, I just want to thank you and John both for doing this podcast each week because I'm sure it's getting to where it's hard to talk about the Bengals sometimes, you know? So I do appreciate you all doing this.
Nah, thanks, buddy.
I mean that seriously. And you did mention earlier, Anthony, that maybe if the Bengals win their last few games or something, they'll bring Marvin back. Well, I don't think the Bengals win their last few games. I think it's Cleveland and Pittsburgh. I don't see them winning either one of those games, whether they bring Marvin back or not. I don't think I'll be surprised either way, if he's not back or if he is back. So, I don't know. What's your opinion on that?
Well, first of all, thanks for the kind words, John. Always appreciate it and always appreciate you calling in. Basically, to me, the only winnable game, obviously, of the four remaining seems to be Oakland. And boy, might that one be just ugly to watch in terms of what the product on the field will be for both of those teams. You know, I think if this was a team that maybe had Dalton or – not both, but Dalton or Green, I think they would have a shot at maybe – you know, winning another game or kind of making a run at an 8-8 now at this point. But I don't know. I just don't really see a win there. And I think that if Marvin is going to pull out wins and he somehow gets a win against Cleveland and or Pittsburgh, that will definitely open ownership's eyes for better or for worse. In terms of fan perspective, that will open ownership's eyes and say, you know, obviously Marvin finished the season with these two wins. John Sheeran, your thoughts?
I think six wins is the number that we're likely going to see, and it's probably going to be that win against Oakland because as bad as the Bengals are, the Oakland are just that much worse, and they're playing at home for in front of probably 30,000 people coming to that game. So yeah, I don't see them winning those two games either because they're playing with a disadvantage in the most important areas, you know, coaching and quarterback. And again, like we talked about, it'll just be an impossible sell for the team to possibly market this team with Marvin Lewis again leading the team, and especially after, you know, at that point, what would it be like losing six out of the final eight games at that point? Yeah. It presumably, if they win against Oakland. Two straight division losses to close out the year, it would just be it would be an impossible task for them to do to try to spin that into a positive. And, you know, but again, this is the Bengals, and Marvin Lewis and Mike Brown are inseparable until they are separated, so we can't, it's just impossible to assume that it's actually going to happen until it actually happens. So I think I'm right with John from Kentucky. I would be equally, you know, I would be equally surprised both ways, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a shame. It really is, because even when the Bengals were you know, in this 1-3 stretch, 1-4 stretch. I mean, there were still – Cleveland's a winnable game. Denver should be a winnable game at both at home. You've got another game against Cleveland. Should be a winnable game. You've got Oakland. I mean, even if it was you're in the playoffs as a charlatan type of 9 or 10-win team, there was still an opportunity for this team to do something, even with the injuries and all that kind of stuff. I mean, these are games that – these are not formidable teams, most of them, in this stretch of games. And, I mean, they are looking completely overmatched. And some of that has to do with the injuries, for sure. But they're looking completely overmatched. They're two touchdown dogs this week against the Chargers. You know, they lost by 14 against Denver. It going back to the previous question, it does feel there is a 1990s stench about what's happening, and it's weird because this team just completely hit a brick wall this year. That Steelers loss just made them completely hit a brick wall, and it's kind of been a tale of two seasons. It's really a shame, and it's gonna take a lot of changes for internally for this team to turn the corner again next year. But we'll see if that happens. Thanks so much for all of your calls. We had a number of calls. We missed some. I apologize. We couldn't get to all of them, and I apologize to our callers that we couldn't talk to you for longer periods of time. We'd love to just talk to you for hours and hours about the Bengals if we could, but time is not on our side, as they say. But you can get this show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, YouTube, Art19, and CincyJungle.com. We appreciate the support, and subscribe to those channels if you can. You can get in touch with us on Twitter at BengalsOBI. We appreciate all the interaction in the live YouTube chat tonight. And for John Sheeran, I'm Anthony Cazenza. Keep your chins up. Better times are coming, I hope. This is the Georgia Black Insider Bengals podcast. We'll talk to you next time.
Hello, I'm Ashley Carmen.
I'm Caitlin Tiffany.
We're the hosts of Why'd You Push That Button, The Verge's show about all the choices technology forces us to make.
We're back for season 3, talking about questions like, why do you delete your tweets?
And why do you type in lowercase letters that make you seem like a serial killer?
And why are you on an exclusive dating app?
You're not that special. We're releasing a new episode every Wednesday, and you can find us anywhere you typically find podcasts, which is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts. So go ahead and subscribe and check us out.